We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heebie Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas, and with me today, statistician and pun master, host of the Dunker Spot on the Basketball News Network, Nikias Duncan.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, sir?
We're moving, we're grooving, we're doing good. It's nice. I always say this after a win. It's just nice to do shows after a win. Mm-hmm. Nikias, I don't know if you caught Heat Twitter yesterday, but when they were down four in that third quarter, it was like I literally saw people in our mention saying I'd rather not make the playoffs, like down four in a third quarter against a good team. Like I had, like, the Spurs aren't a bad team.
They're not a bad team. Like, I guess this just feels like a lot of frustration building up with this team, and especially following the Chicago loss, which I also fed into on Twitter.
I mean, but that was bad, dude.
Like, yeah, like I'm sorry. Like, I understand missing players, but like you have Jimmy and Bam, like, do what you need to do.
The Bulls without LaVine. Like, I don't understand how they score points. And Denzel Washington, who actively hurts them. Like, Denzel's a... dude, that guy's bad.
He's a... yeah. Well, Denzel Valentine, first and foremost.
Huh?
I said, you threw out Denzel Washington. I was like, oh, well, very neat. But
no, I said Denzel Valentine.
You thought you said Denzel Valentine.
I did? Oh, my bad.
No, you're good. I was messing with you. But yeah, it was just a very odd game that nobody could... I understand. Following that with losing the lead to the Spurs, I can understand where the frustration came in. But luckily, Miami pulled it out, and we're here in a good mood.
Let's talk a little bit about that game, because I thought the Spurs, like, played well. Like, DeMar was hitting, like, tough shots. I thought Bam was doing a good job. Because in that Chicago game... They were dropping Bam a little bit, and I don't know if that was a product of them playing Tice and Vooch together, mm-hmm, with Markkanen at the three, which is like one of the weirdest things ever, but whatever.
Yeah.
So they were kind of dropping Bam, and I didn't like that look for their defense, even though I understood why they did it. It seemed like the Bulls were, they were just getting to the soft spots a little easier. And against the Spurs, they were switching Bam onto DeMar, and dude, DeMar was hitting like tough stuff and quick. I can't even look at the Heat defense and say, no, that was bad.
I mean, that's what DeMar has been doing all year long. Like, I'm kind of surprised that we haven't seen more drop from Miami this year. Like, it's weird. Like, even coming into the year, like, I was expecting a repeat of what happened last season. Like, we're going to play drop. you know, midway through the season after the All-Star break, maybe you implement more switching. If you want to throw in some trapping, that's fine. But I thought the shift to switching was going to come in the second half of the season, but they just kind of started off with that and then juice things with trapping. So to see Miami look a little bit out of sorts in the drop, my co-host Steve Jones Jr. was tossing some clips at me the other night about how Dwayne Dedman was looking. wasn't great. Didn't necessarily fit my Dwayne Dedman agenda, but I don't know. Like they have, I mean, Bam can play anything you want him to. So I guess it's not a problem with him, but like it didn't seem tight. I wonder if they're going to use the last few games to kind of tinker with that. Like, I would imagine they are going to want to play at least some version of the drop if they get, let's say they get to the playoffs, lower seed, they play Philly. Like if Philly drops the two or something and it's 2-7. I don't know. Like, I want to see it. Like, I think they have the
person. They have to against Simmons.
Yeah, like I don't think you want to end up switching point guards onto Ben Simmons.
No, that idea. Well, for me, like, well, I mean, I thought yesterday Dedman and drop was good, and I was watching some of his kind of defensive possessions, and they sink him deep, and I don't mind that. And their defensive rating is like fine when he's on the court. It's not like great, but it's like whatever. It's fine. And I those units typically are not, like, you know, defensive juggernauts. It's a lot of Goron. It's a lot of, you know, Nunn, right? It's a lot of, was Andre, by the way, has kind of like, what happened?
He
was giving them really good minutes early, and now I really don't want to see him out there.
Yeah, like I've never really been comfortable with how important he's been to them. This seems like a theme for all of the Heat players outside of Jimmy and Bam. Like, Kelly Olynyk, he's been good, but you don't want to rely on him. Andre Iguodala's giving you good minutes, you don't want to rely on him. So now the shot has completely fallen off the face of the earth, and you're left with the reality that he's a, at this stage, he's like a 6'5", 6'6", power forward that can't shoot. And there are only so many handoffs you can run with him because he's not really a screen presence. Like, he knows how to slip into space, but like, who's really worried about Andre Iguodala getting downhill for you at this point? So they're going to need someone in the wing rotation to step up. I'm not sure who.
I mean, they have Ariza, and then after that, they don't, because KZ has given them absolutely nothing, like nothing. And that's been, I think they banked on a lot of internal improvements from Tyler, from KZ, from a bunch of guys. And Bam's the only one that's given them any juice worth the squeeze.
Yeah, it's.
And I guess Jimmy in a weird way.
it's been tough. Like, again, he's falling off a cliff now, but it was funny the first stretch with Mo Harkless in Sacramento where he looked like an NBA player again. It's just like, that would have been nice to have, so you wouldn't have to rely on some of these guys. But KZ, the KZ situation makes me sad. Really, like, nice. He was just kind of – like, he didn't play well, but he was also yanked around, so he didn't really have a way to establish any sort of rhythm. Like, you could tell he's playing timid sometimes. Other times, you could tell he's, like, forcing some aggression because you could tell – I mean, you kind of knew, they think I'm not being aggressive enough. I have to show that I can attack. And he never really found anything. And, like, I think he can still give Miami decent minutes defensively. Like, he has the length for it. But it's money time now that they can't afford to throw him out as the random spark. Like, earlier in the season was his time to prove that he could be a rotation player, and I think that's pretty much done for the year. So they're going to have to hope that Andre Iguodala bounces back at some point.
Going back to Dedman, because I know that I sidetracked this. I thought the Bulls game was not the best, like, showing for him. What up? We're welcoming in Brian Goins. What's up, Brian, producer, co-founder?
Sorry, guys. I tried to plan out an Uber Eats delivery on time, and you know how it
that's
is.
Why you're late. You could have lied and said it was something important. You're talking about your damn Uber Eats?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, producers got to eat. I respect that.
Producer.
I try to time it, guys, you know. Ah. Like, you know when I, like, order too early when you're not hungry, but you also don't want to order too late where you miss your podcast? Well, I try to figure out that sweet spot was, like, an hour before show. Yeah, it turns out it took over an hour for this delivery to come, like, less than 10 minutes away from where I live.
You're kind of like the Heat. They can't figure out, like, what the sweet spot of, like, how many defensive players, the offensive player they should have on the court. It's like that.
That's a great analogy, G. Is that, like, the best thing you said all show so far?
I don't know. I liked I called Denzel Valentine Denzel Washington, so that's how we started. And now we're here talking about my bad. I'm sorry, Denzel Washington. That's oof.
Wrong guy.
It's like when Nikias gets mixed up for Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard. Wrong guy.
Try not to switch up. That's your boy, dude.
That video I saw today of like the DBZ fusion.
Yeah.
Low key, that was kind of perfect.
Yo, dog, Twitter, I feel bad for you when that happens. I gotta be honest with you. Like, it's changed.
Is it racist?
Is it racist?
I mean, like, inherently, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Is it bad that I laugh at it, though?
Yes, I mean, canceled.
A little bit, but I mean, I understand. Like, it's very lightweight joking. Like, I don't take it to heart, but like, it's, you know, I don't, in fact, look like literally every black NBA player with a beard.
Yeah.
So,
well, in that case, it was not a beard.
You don't really look like Solomon Hill.
You look like black NBA players without a beard, i.e. Chris Paul and young Amari Sotomayor. So,
okay.
Going back to Uncle Deadman, Mr. Dwayne Deadman. Nikias, I liked what he's given them in the drop outside of the Chicago game. I think it's been mostly good. He really sits back, waits. And I think it's a good change of pace for their defense. They, you know, they kind of, it gives them another element to do stuff. The Deadman and Jimmy minutes have been just like a tornado on both ends of the floor. It's like been really good. And I kind of like that extra dimension that he gives them. He can go up to the level of the screen when he needs to. He's done some trapping. I like it. They have like a good diet of stuff he does.
He's a vet that knows where to be. Like, that's very cliche to say, but
it's true.
He's played for a lot of teams. Like, I mean, he has some San Antonio pedigree. He's been a little bit of everywhere, has played in just about every coverage imaginable. I like him more either in the drop or just coming up to the level. The traps have been better than I expected, but I wouldn't call them good. That really got him in trouble in that second Chicago game in particular, to where he'll show.
I kind of feel like he's played better against some of the teams that he used to play for now. Like the Atlanta game was pretty good at, and now both these San Antonio games he's been pretty good. So like, when do we play Sacramento next?
It's going to be the Milwaukee's revenge game. But the traps haven't been great. Like, they got him in trouble in Chicago to where he'll hedge out, corral the ball handler. But once he gets into that recovery, he went somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where he went, but I've been more impressed with him offensively. Like, he's crashing the glass. Oh. He's been a godsend there. But like, the fact that he's a legitimate role threat is not something that I expected. Like, I thought he would provide some value as like maybe a mid-range pick and pop guy. Like, I'm still waiting on the three ball to fall for him. Maybe I'm just kind of holding out hope for no reason on that front. But he's diving with some oomph, has good hands. Like,
did he shoot threes so far? I don't remember him shooting one. But I mean, I haven't watched every single Heat game like you guys have.
He has taken 1-3. Brian, we don't admit that here. You lying, so you watch every game.
I don't. I've told you guys this. Like, I've been in and out from just life in general with the Heat for like the last 2.5 months. I'm finally like coming back into like this whole podcast realm. It's been weird 2 months for me, but I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to see Nikias' face again, to be honest. More than geez.
Nikias is just delightful. Nikias makes everyone
happy. I'm surprised Nikias is still doing this for us. You're a little too big time for this pod now.
Yeah, you're way too big. You're on TV and shit. You're here on our little Twitch channel with 50 live viewers.
Like, we pay you, but like, I feel like we're still paying you too little.
We're broke. That's all we got.
Just here to help the fellas and the ladies, you know.
So, Nikias, let me ask you something, because I just pulled up Heat's pick and roll players by points per possession. Who do you think the top three are this season in points per possession as a role man?
As a role man. Is Jimmy up there?
Jimmy is up there. Okay. Jimmy's number 2, all right. 0.47.
All right, Jimmy's up there. I would imagine Deadman's up there.
Deadman is up there at 1.36. So.
Because this, like, Bam seems too obvious. Like, there's going to be like some sort of slip option that's like really good. I don't think Duncan's does he have enough possessions to be up there?
He does.
Is Duncan up there?
Duncan's number 1 at 1.60 points per possession as a role man.
There we go.
You're better at this than you are at the game that Steve plays with you on Dunker Spot. You never get the. Sometimes I'm yelling in my car when you forget someone. I was like, come on, guys, it's so obvious.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. He does very well with the trivia. I must say.
It's great. That, listen, Duncan, and we can, we'll get into Duncan after we talk about Deadman. But yeah, I mean, Duncan's two-man game with Jimmy, I mean, they were playing like in a phone booth. They had no space and they were making that work. Deadman seals his man so well, sometimes to a point that I'm like, that's not legal, but they can't call everything.
The tie seal.
Oh my God. Like, dude, he was like pushing him.
But yeah, I mean,
I love it.
That's what stood out. Like his first game in Miami, like he just plays physical and that's such low hanging fruit. But we watched a long line of Heat bigs that don't always make contact over the last few years. So it's nice to see Dwayne Dedman come in there and just kind of lay the lumber. And
Wait. Was that a shot at Hassan just there?
No, that was a shot at Willie Reed. Duh.
So it's a shot at any big man that did not make consistent contact.
Who's the last big man that's like been this great off? Like, is it Chris Anderson?
Yeah, it's Birdman.
Yeah,
like that they picked. I mean, Willie Reed gave him like legit good minutes.
Yeah, I mean, and then he became he assaulted somebody, right? Yeah, he's canceled. Yes.
Way to lob that in here awkwardly.
But let's say the real answer would be Hassan at that point. I mean,
that's true. Do you remember like they'd play him like 5 minutes and we were like, damn, like these are really good because they were like the worst rebounding team in the league by a lot, and he came in and he like instantly fixed that by himself.
Yeah, and blocked literally everything. It's a great initial run, and then we just kept playing them, and then
Snapchat happened. Yeah, I know.
And then the wheels fell off.
Yeah, fell out of favor a little bit. But, you know.
HW21. Sorry, we can't say his name. Apparently, that's what chat's saying.
There we go.
Chat doesn't like it. So Deadman's stats on the season. Everybody loves tweeting these out. His on offs. When he's on in 107 minutes, they're plus 21 net rating, a 130 offensive rating, 108 defensive rating. That offensive rating is obviously like insane. Part of it's propped up by his insane offensive rebound rate. Mm-hmm. Nikias, the Heat they're at 31% offensive rebound percentage, which would put, when he's on the floor, which would put them at the top of the league with the Pelicans. That's insane. They went from like the worst offensive rebounding team to the best offensive rebounding team in Dwayne Dedman minutes.
Like I don't know how sustainable that part is, but he's just been really great. I mean, he's just been physical. Like he does his work early. He's battled on the glass. It's funny that he's doing this without really having much vertical pop.
Long man.
Yeah, he's just a big, strong, long dude. Like he has the angles down. And he gets in there.
What are you saying, Brian?
This is chat said. Gee, is this close to meaning that rebounds matter?
I think that I've been misrepresented in that take. Nikias, Tiff and I had an argument about like rebounding, like the importance of rebounding. And I'm like, well, if you know, obviously like you don't want to be like the worst in the league at anything, right? If you can get to like middle of the pack at rebounding, you can survive as long as you're scoring enough because your threes are going to offset offensive rebound putbacks and stuff like that. Like your offense can largely, like if you don't turn the ball over and if you can score, you can offset the need of rebounding. So that was always my point.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has misconstrued it to say, I think rebounds don't matter. And I was like, well, I don't think I'm off base for what I'm saying.
Okay, all rebounds matter.
Oh, God. First and foremost, like, I get your point. I think I mostly agree with it. Also, I think this is just kind of tying into your general dislike of Andre Drummond. Like, maybe that's how all of this is coming together.
Oh, he sucks. He's bad. I wish Rui Hachimura yammed on him and not poor Anthony Davis.
That's tough.
If Rui had gotten, and by the way, like, you know, they were saying that was an offensive foul on the ESPN broadcast. Dorisberg, I love you. Don't take that away from Rui.
Poor Anthony Davis. He's a max player. What are you talking about?
He's embarrassed on TV, man. You don't want to be embarrassed. So the Deadman. Oh,
shout out to Twist Tapioca for gifting a tier one sub to Smeefin Smolk. Does he not have a... I thought Smeefin Smolnik was already subscribed.
No, Smeefin gets gifted subs by everybody.
Wow, that makes sense.
Smeefin's never paid for a drink at this bar. Everybody buys him drinks. If you're a podcast listener, you got to hop on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat. We stream every podcast, pregame show, and the Hangover Time postgame show. It's fun. You get in here, you chat. Sometimes we read like funny stuff, and you guys get to kind of help us produce the show. You kind of drive. You know, Crabs from a Peddler says very smartly, is Duncan Robinson the next Giannis? I mean, you don't get commentary like that
anywhere else but our Twitch chat. So join in. If you're a YouTube listener, if you're a YouTube watcher, come to the Twitch stream. It's a lot of fun. And if you are a YouTube watcher and you want this on pod version, remember we're on Spotify, Apple Pods, all that good stuff.
Okay. And if you want this hat, which I'm wearing right now, you can get it at shop.miamiheatbeat.com. Plus, there'll be new merch coming out tomorrow.
Yes,
which I'll be new putting merch up during the day.
I don't remember. At some I don't remember point. The command for Twitch chat.
It's merch.
Okay, merch. Okay, exclamation point merch. So throw that in there if anybody wants to take a look at our store. Peruse, browse. We have something fun coming out tomorrow that I think you guys are going to like. So real quickly to close out the Deadman talk. 55 of those 107 minutes, Deadman's played with Jimmy. Plus 30 net rating, 130 offensive rating, 101 defensive rating. And to me, Nikias, I thought the game turned. Well, it's not I think. It was fact. The game turned when it was starters minus Bam plus Deadman. Mm-hmm. And they had a little bit of space, a little bit of punch. And Deadman and Jimmy have such good chemistry in that two-man game that their offense was fixed. And then suddenly the guard screens were working a little better. Everything was kind of moving a little smoother. And I kind of wonder how much more of that we're going to see. Like, if there's going to be just a commitment to be like, okay, let's get Bam out early. Let's get Jimmy and Deadman in. And let's let them run roughshod over second units. That's a look I really, really like for them.
I would imagine that that's going to be something that they would explore. Like, I mean, Deadman obviously isn't a big that can self-create. So having someone like Jimmy on the floor for him to run some pick and roll and get him some easier looks, I think that helps. And then you just get all the size benefits of Deadman that you don't necessarily get from Bam, like the offensive rebounding. They play more drop. You can kind of funnel things more inside there. And if you're playing drop, that's more Jimmy on the weak side, more activity there. And he's able to split, pick off passes, dig from the nail, whatever you need him to do. So it's a pairing that makes sense. It's something that they can explore. And again, if you get Bam out early, bring him back in. He gets some higher usage minutes, helps create for the other guards since they've had struggles creating for themselves. And I think that's something that Miami should look for. I mean, that should continue to do moving forward.
I was asked, and Brian, I want to get you on in this first. Nikias, you first, and Brian. I was asked, who are the Heat's third and fourth best players, not counting Oladipo? And I was like, well, I think Duncan's pretty comfortably their third best player this season.
Not Warren counting Oladipo.
Not counting Oladipo. And for the fourth, I was like, at this point, I think it's either Deadman or none. And I'm not sure. Like, the impact that Deadman has on the game is a lot more palpable than none. Like, you feel Deadman. There are, like, statistical backers that are overwhelming that he legitimately changes their identity when he's on the court positively into a plus rebounding team, a good offensive team, kind of a little tougher. And it's kind of crazy to say that, but I think I go Deadman, Duncan 3, Deadman 4.
How depressing is that?
Yeah.
Deadman is like, if Deadman is 4, or even if none is 4, considering what you're expecting from Goran Dragic and Tyler Hero, like, what does that say about the season that they're having?
Oh, I mean, I think it reflects suck. In the standings. What? It reflects that you're in seventh place.
Yeah, that's just kind of tough. I mean, again, I agree with you. Duncan is I think he's definitely 3. Like, he's made some subtle leaps in his game on both ends. Like, he's improved defensively. Offensively, the passes are coming out a little bit earlier, a little bit more precise, a little bit more comfortable attacking closeouts. You know what he brings as a movement shooter, even with the different percentage. Like, Miami's found creative ways to use him. I like that they're leaning more into pick and rolls with him. I like that he's screening a little bit more for Bam. Whoa. That's fun. Like, they should just do that more often. I'll leave that there.
By the way, you know, if you guys like that kind of content, Duncan screening for Bam, there might be something dropping from this Heat beat soon about that. So stay tuned.
Eyeball emoji. For, like, I think since Deadman's been there, he's definitely been 3 or 4. The sample is just a little small for me to, like, give him that.
Oh, but it's per 36, though.
I hate. Nikias, do you hate per 36 minutes? I hate those. I hate that stat. It's so useless.
Yeah, I don't really buy it with per 36 too often. The only time I'll use per 36 for, like, my own work is if I'm looking at what does a player's stats look like when he's playing with someone else. So, like, maybe it's, you know, like, the fun one from last year was, like, what was Chris Middleton's per 36 with Giannis off the floor and what it looked like with him on the floor? Like, something like that. But just as a standalone, I don't really buy with it like that. So if not Deadman, like, I guess it kind of has to be
none.
Like, I'm talking between none and Ariza, just because Ariza has defended so well across so many spots, but he also just can't finish inside. I guess I'll give it to none.
You know, none can't finish inside.
Yeah, Deadman. So you go Duncan Nunn?
Yeah, I'll go Duncan Nunn.
Okay. Also, like, before we get to Brian's, I don't think it's I think it's not coincidence. And host of the Weird Elf pregame show, Jack Alfonso, said this in our chat today. It's like, it's not a coincidence that Ariza and Deadman, who haven't played in over a year, are the ones that look really good for this team, right? Because, you know, having an off season kind of matters.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's the little things, like not running your body into the ground. Brian, who you got at 3 and 4? Before we change
three is definitely here. Duncan. So I feel like it's just toss up of who do you think is fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth, I'd probably put Nunn right now because he's just been shooting really well since he's been back in the starting lineup. But ideally, yeah, you would really want Tyler or Goran to be there, especially in the playoffs. It was mostly Goran in the top three besides Duncan, not Duncan, besides Jimmy and Bam. And I don't even know where Goran would fall if we're going to keep ranking players. I feel like he barely makes the top eight now.
That's when sad. Nikias, when Brian's point is great. When I was watching Heat Bulls and when Goran had Vooch in drop in a point of their season that they needed that game, in a game that you absolutely needed, down the stretch, teetering on disaster, Goran gets the guy you want. If you could have picked anybody on the court to have isolated against Goran, you would have picked, I want Nick Vucevic. If you would have asked Goran, Goran would have said, I want that guy. And Goran had him in a drop and went right at him and couldn't beat him and flipped up one of the worst layups I've ever seen him throw up. And to me, I'm like, oh, he's like done. Like at that point, off 2 days rest, I'm like, he's done. Like, that's just, I had nothing. I was like, yeah, healthy Goran Dragic is, well, just
he,
doesn't.
The thing is, he didn't even look bad yesterday. So it's like he has.
But that's all jump shots, Brian. Yeah. It's not him getting to the rim. Like that game against Chicago.
He had
Chicago,
one fast break. I guess in transition, that's when you actually see him really attacking more. He's better in the
he can't beat guys off the dribble in the half court. No. And so, you know, I don't really know what.
No
they
one
can
really
expect
can though, besides Jimmy at this point.
So, yeah, Nikias, like, I just wanted your thoughts on that, like, kind of that specific play and, like, how it illustrates Goran's season.
It was disappointing because, like, we've seen it from Goran so many times throughout his Heat tenure. Like, if you're going to play in a drop, like, he goes off the screen, snakes it. I mean, he got to his left hand, so he could have got to a sort of pull-up jumper or could have got all the way to the rim. He elects to go to the rim and just tosses up this weird-looking flip shot that goes off the right side of the backboard, despite him being on the left side of the floor when he took the shot. And it's just like, the fact that you couldn't beat Vucevic to the spot to get a cleaner layup angle is a problem. The actual layup attempt was a problem. And just the read there, because Vucevic was dropping back a little bit further than I guess he anticipated. Like, the jumper was the actual decision to make. So from a decision-making standpoint, it wasn't great. From a burst standpoint, it wasn't great. Just trying to finish over that length, it wasn't great. And with it being, you know, late fourth quarter, you need a bucket to kind of stop the bleeding and really give yourself a shot to make a comeback. Like, he couldn't do it. And it's just kind of a microcosm of the season he's had. Like, outside of the matter of fact, was that a Chicago game as well? When he just kind of went off?
Yep. In Chicago.
Yeah, and that was all jumpers. Yeah, he made like
all jumpers.
7 threes in like that fourth quarter, whatever it was.
That's why that didn't instill any confidence in me. I went on Hangover Time and I was like this, or the podcast the next day, and I was like, I don't believe any of that. That's all jump shots. That didn't show me anything.
It's sad. Like, it's, this has kind of been on the wall. Like, I mean, me and you have talked about it online, offline, that I've just been worried about what a Goran Dragic decline was going to look like.
That was fast. This was faster than I thought.
Yeah. Like, the foot injury last season, I think that accelerated things. But even before that, like, I've had questions about his ability to kind of get to the rim on a whim. Like, some nights he has it more than others, but it's never just, I can just do it whenever I want to. And that's been the case for at least a year and a half, 2 years. And now you add in the injury, he ages a little bit more. And, you know, the offense isn't necessarily helping him either.
I didn't realize how much he relied on that step back three until I watched. So I watched all of his dribble handoff possessions. Shout out to Instat, my new favorite thing ever. And I watched all of his dribble handoff possessions from the bubble and from this season. And I'm like, he doesn't have that step back in the bag anymore. And he was just killing dudes with it. Like, just absolutely killing dudes that were scared of Bam rolling, that were scared of any off-ball action from Duncan so they wouldn't send help. And he was either going to the rim or he had that step back if things went bad. And it's just like, he has nothing to fall back on other than, like, those weird push shots that never go in.
Yeah, and I think that's the reliance on that. I think that's why you've seen the three-point rate continue to go up for him. Like, you want him to transition into more of an off-ball shooter anyway. But it's at the point to where it's a necessity for him to be a positive for him to knock down threes. And there have been a lot more possessions this year to where it's a jab and it's a contested shot instead of even trying to attack the basket because he just can't do it.
Yeah.
So I think that's what makes Kendrick Nunn's emergence over the past like couple of weeks. I mean, he missed the last couple of games, but that's what made his recent emergence so important, that they have another guy that can actually score at, what, 2.5 levels. I think that helps. Getting Tyler Hero back at some point, you kind of need to see what he can do. I think the on-ball reps that he got earlier in the season, even though they didn't always look great, those are important for his development, and it's important for Miami to see what they have in the guard room with that role. This is going to be a really important stretch just to see where they move forward with this guard room, because, I mean, you need to see Victor Oladipo come back, if he's going to come back.
If
not, then, you know, Nunn's a free agent. Hero's still on the rookie contract, and then you enter the offseason, and it's, okay, do we need to bring back Depot? Do we need to bring back Nunn? Is Kyle Lowry an option? Like, where did they have a lot of questions to answer.
Leif scared me on the timeline the other day. He's like, the Heat are going to split their cap space between Lowry and DeMar, and I'm like, oh, no. I've seen that movie.
I wouldn't hate
up
that.
Up close and personal. No, because you did not watch that as personally as I did.
Yeah, but, I know but, how but also ends. They're not your number one or number two scoring options.
I know how that ends. I've seen it. I don't like it. Yeah, Nikias, I think there's like zero chance that they keep Nunn this offseason. It's just, I mean, I doubt they keep Depot at this point. Judging from what certain outlets are reporting, it seems like it's a pain tolerance thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, like I don't mind getting into a little bit. Like, I don't really like how the Heat leaked that. And they did the same thing with Justice Winslow. And it always like rubs me the wrong way. It's like, I think that they're used to like these Udonis and these Alonzo-esque kind of pain tolerators, right? Like for their, you know, they're very militant in that. And I get it. But like, I don't know. It's pretty like fucked up when you leak it's a pain tolerance thing. Cause like, you know, your season's going sideways. And what the fuck do you think your fan base is going to say? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like that's, like I haven't followed closely like who's leaked what. So I can't speak to that specifically. I think in a vacuum, just you kind of want to keep that in-house. Like you kind of want to protect the player at that point. And if it is a pain tolerance, especially a guy like Victor Oladipo who has this history of lower leg injuries and he's
also in a contract year.
So like it's understandable that he wouldn't want to press that to begin with. But once you add in the financial incentives, and it's not like Depot's making this decision on a team that's like a top three team in the East where they have like legit title aspirations. Like this is a team struggling towards the bottom of the playoff pool. So I would imagine that also factors into the calculus for him. Like, am I really going to push this at 85% for the chance to make the Eastern Conference Finals? Like,
no.
And if that's part of it, again, I don't know Victor Oladipo personally or anything like that, so I'm not trying to project that. But if that was a thought process for him, I can't say that I would blame him.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I kind of want to put one thing in there because I feel like we've known all along that Victor really wanted to be in Miami. Mm-hmm. So he finally gets his wish. Obviously, this isn't what he expected to happen, but, you know, Miami's looking at this situation and they're going to decide whether they want to keep him this summer moving forward. But it doesn't help his case if he wants to still stick around in Miami, if he doesn't at least try to come back in the playoffs. I don't imagine he'll come back in the regular season, but I could see him still come back in the first round. I feel like I've heard a lot of people say that it makes sense for him to come off the bench. I kind of feel like at that point you need to start starting him or else just sit him.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Because what are you going to try to get from him? Like 10 minutes off the bench? Is that all you're trying to get out of him?
Anything? I mean, have you seen their guard rotation?
I mean, if you just give him Gabe Vincent minutes.
Like, just literally, like, poor Gabe. I love Gabe, but goddamn.
Well, then I guess that's the next question. Like, okay, say Victor comes back. Obviously, Spo made the decision to start Goran in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine that's happening again this year.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Just based on his
play. I kind of laughed at the idea that Ethan put out there when he said, like, well, yeah, I know you got to start none in the playoffs. And I was like, that's fucking ridiculous. They're going to start Oladipo. And I'm like, 9 games left. I don't really know. No, Ethan might be right here.
But like, yeah, I just feel like if Victor really wanted to stay in Miami, it might benefit him if he played.
That's a good point. That's like a really good point. But I don't know. It's tough. We're not like plugged in to the organization. Yeah. They might be facing a situation in this offseason where they like, I mean, they probably don't lose Goran, but like they could lose none and they could lose Depot. That's half your, it's half your like guard rotation.
Yeah. And like, honestly, they, this should just kind of be it for Goran in the Heat uniform, if we're being honest.
Oh, come on. No, he's going to come back, and he's a lifer, dude.
I know he's going to.
He's a lifer.
But, like, if we're just...
That meant he's coming back. That's about it.
Nikias, stop being... Don't be Nikias Duncan of basketball news, right? Don't be that guy for a second. Be Nikias Duncan that used to write articles on your phone. Be that guy for a second. Goran doesn't make you happy as a fan. Like, you're just like, you're just like, man, I like him and I just like want him to kind of be around, even if it's for 10 minutes a game off the bench. I love that guy. That guy is amazing and he means a lot to this organization. I want him here.
So you want him to be Udonis Haslam?
No, but he'll play. He can give you 10 minutes. I mean, he's kind of doing it. I can make a statistical argument that Goran Dragic is good. I can't do that for Udy.
Well, I mean, I guess that much is true. But, I mean, even when I was writing articles on the phone, like, you know, the article I wrote for Heat Beat that got me yelled at for months on end.
So, the Dwayne Wade one?
Yeah.
Still one of our most like viewed stories on our site.
That is.
So like this isn't new for me. Like I just, even as a fan, like I care about what I'm watching. Like,
okay. What about this? Goran on, Nunn and Tyler off, almost 400 minutes plus another net rating, 119 offensive rating.
I mean, that's cool. What's the defensive rating?
106.
Okay. I don't think he's the reason for that.
No, he's not the reason for the defense, but they can put enough defensive players around him without those other two guards that make that. And like, if you go Goran, Duncan, I'm pulling this up as we speak, Jimmy and Bam, that lineup is crazy good. So when they're arguably like the core that made the finals, right? Minus Tyler. Mm-hmm. So those four on in 90 minutes plus 20 net rating, 120 offensive rating, 99 defensive rating. So like, I can make an argument that like he helps their lineups, like whether he looks great or not. I think his ability to push the ball, I do think he's a pesky rebounder. And if he rebounds and he pushes, that's good for the offense. He does get them into stuff a little earlier than Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps. Like, I think that there's arguments of like, okay, you can play him in certain lineups, maybe not, you know, start him and play him for like 30 minutes. But I think that there's like, he's still a productive player when put in the right positions.
That's fair. It's just the context that he needs is getting more and more specific.
Yes.
The ages. And then and then you look at the rest of the roster, it's like, okay, how many ways can we actually put him in this context? And it's really only starting him. And with Miami switching everything now, like it just puts an even larger target on his back.
But he won't switch stuff. They'll hard show and recover if they want to like put him in the torture chamber like they did with the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways to counter it. It's also a lot of extra work that I think in an ideal world, you wouldn't want to have to navigate that.
But you'd have to do that with Nunn and Tyler anyway. And that's kind of the reality that they face.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are degrees of help that you have to send those guys, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
I understand, yeah. But I mean, if we're talking about the extra effort, I do think that, like, in a playoff series against, you know, any sort of power wing that would ask, you know, Goran's man or to come screen, you know, they're just going to go at him.
Right.
Especially,
so yeah, like, so against the Knicks, what's your lineup?
The Knicks can't score. I'm not scared of them.
What do you mean they can't score? They got Julius Randle.
They're a bad offensive team.
They got Julius Randle, Emmanuel Quickly.
I'm not doing this again. I did this on Hangover Time yesterday. I'm not doing this again.
Chad was asking for a part two.
Chad was asking for, listen, I heard it on Hangover Time. You don't boil my blood. And I like Steve Jones. I don't want him to get mad at me for getting at his team.
Is that his team?
It's not, but it's a bit.
It's like a bit.
It's too late.
What is his team? Or does he have a team? Or no, not anymore, probably, because
he's like worked for a million teams.
Yeah. He's a fan of all 30 teams. He's one of those fans.
I didn't listen to Dunker Spot this week. I was going to listen tomorrow. I've been like super busy. Did you take your victory lap on Deadman?
I have not taken official victory lap on.
Okay. I'm going to wait for that. That's going to be glorious. That's the only Wash Big that you ever liked.
Come on, man.
You and me, dude. I know we're aligned in not wanting Wash Bigs. I feel like I like my ally because, like, we're not, you know, any big over 30, unless it's Marc Gasol.
Yeah, like, you got to be able to defend, like, shoot, preferably both. But, like, you can't.
Not even shoot. If you can roll, like, can you hard roll and defend? I'll take it.
Can you be a Dwayne Dedman?
Listen, Dwayne Dedman has to be in the MVP conversation. I saw Streaky Shooter say that about campaign last night, and I was like, damn it, I wish I thought of that for Deadman. That'd be funny. All right, so we're going to get out of here in a second. I know people want to watch the draft. I want to talk quickly about the remaining schedule. So at Cleveland on Saturday, then at Charlotte on Sunday, road back-to-back. Then they have two home games versus Dallas, versus Minnesota with a couple days of rest in between. Then it's a big one. It's at Boston, May 9th, and then a couple days of rest at Boston, May 11th. By the way, Adam Silver, I will see you in hell for scheduling a 1 p.m. game on Mother's Day. F you. Thursday at Philly, which that might rest, guys. That's the third to last game of the season. Then a couple days, Milwaukee, and then a back-to-back at Detroit. Nikias, I may get made fun of. They could only lose two games in this stretch. There is a universe where they beat Cleveland, Charlotte, maybe lose to Dallas, you know, split the Boston games, and then beat the rest of them because Milwaukee and Philly are going to rest everybody. There's a world.
There is, in fact, a world this happens. My issue with that is that I have been watching this Heat offense all year long.
Me too.
And that is what scares me about this stretch. Because in a vacuum, they absolutely, like, forget a world in which they go 7-2. Like, there's a world that they can win all of these.
Yes.
But, like, I've just struggled to trust what they're doing offensively. Like, they've switched between defensive schemes all year, and they've become an elite defensive unit, and they've been fine. But the offense has just kind of been the offense regardless of what the personnel is. So I just don't know how to trust that at this stage.
So since the trade deadline, the Heat are 14th in offense.
Okay.
Okay. So that's something, and that coincides with Duncan, you know, being an elite shooter again.
Yes.
Duncan, by the way, in the stretch since then, has the second most threes in the league on 48% shooting. 45% shooting from three, only behind Steph Curry in made threes in that span. That's good company to be in. One, by the way, one ahead of Bogdanovich in Utah, which, goddamn, he's good. That team, man. Oof. Oof. A problem. But so 14th in offense. So while it's been bad, you know, they've gone, you know, middle of the pack-ish in that time frame. You know, they're still, you know, they have a plus net rating. They're plus one. So, you know, it's not all bad. They have, you know, they have a top. They're 11-8 since then. You know, not great. It's about what they are. But there's a lot of bad defenses, man. Cleveland stinks. You know, Dallas inspires. How much confidence does Dallas inspire you? You know, Minnesota, that's a game that I really don't see a universe where they lose that game. I don't care if Jimmy has to, you know.
I mean,
one on five. Yeah.
I said that about the first one, and then
I know, dude, but it can't happen again. Like, he just, Brian, Jimmy can't lose that game. He can't. He can't.
I mean, I don't. At this point, they can lose to anybody.
They can lose to any of
the
rest.
30 teams in the NBA because they pretty much have.
They have 2 days rest. They have it's a Tuesday against Dallas, Friday against Minnesota. Yeah. They have rest.
And I've realized that those 2 days of rest mean nothing to this team.
No, yeah, it does. Put Goran in ice. Put Deadman. They're probably keeping Deadman in a damn freezer. I mean, keep that man healthy.
Look, I want them to win. I just can't. Like, I'm not betting anything on this team anymore.
Never bet anything in a COVID season. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
But can they win it? Sure. Will they win it? I mean, might as well just like roll a magic eight ball.
The Boston games they split, right? Like, I think that's reasonable. I think if they win both, that'd be a surprise. I mean, Tatum is really
good. Yeah,
I mean,
maybe they win both. They'll probably end up winning one. They'll probably win that the team's first gutless. One. And no, they'll probably lose the first one, win the second one. That's usually
what's
what
Kemba's,
happens.
Kemba's having knee issues again, right, Nikias? I know he missed last night.
Yeah, like it's been very up and down for Kemba. But it looked like he was starting to almost turn the corner after a cold start when he first got back. And now it's just kind of been uneven, and now he's out again. So I don't know. More Peyton Pritchard, I guess.
No. but yeah, so I mean, their stretch is easy. You know, the Hawks have a pretty tough. The Celtics have an easier schedule remaining, so I think they're like the team I'd watch closest. But Miami has two games against them, so they kind of control, you know, their own fate.
The Knicks have the hardest schedule, it looks like.
The Knicks have now I mentioned this on Hangover Time yesterday, and I was mainly memeing on them. But I mean, Nikias, have you seen this?
They play Lakers
to close their season.
Well,
at Houston, at Memphis on the second night of a back to back, then at Denver. At Phoenix, at the Clippers, and at the Lakers, which they'll probably have LeBron and AD back, then against the Spurs, Charlotte, and Boston. That's hell. The only gimme is Houston. And that's it.
Yeah, that might get a little tight for them.
That's going to be, I mean, they could go under 500 that stretch. I mean, Denver, Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers. What?
So you're telling me the Heat and the Celtics are going to be playing a 4-5 matchup?
I think that New York is in danger of free falling to seventh. And I think all this cute little celebration that everyone's been doing and all this, all the little Chris Rock and Jon Stewart on ESPN and all this little cute stuff. Listen, when the Heat went through that schedule, they rightfully got their ass kicked and they fell down in the standings, because everybody will. The Raptors are about to go through that stretch and it's going to look bloody and ugly, because like that, what is that? One, two, three, four, that's a 6-game West Coast trip. The season doesn't make sense.
That makes zero sense. Why would you put that at the end of their schedule? Right before the playoffs, they're going to make them travel all the way over there.
That is weird. And then the 3 games at home, the Spurs, who are going to be fighting for a playoff spot for their lives. The Hornets, who may, are they going to have LaMelo back?
Gordon doesn't seem that way, I don't think.
No? What about Gordon?
I don't know about Gordon. Like, from what I've heard, like, LaMelo's close. Like, maybe it's, he comes back at some point.
Really? I thought he was out even through the playoffs.
No, they made it. They kind of made it seem like he might play in the playoffs if they make it.
Yeah, we got like a 7 to 10 days report from LaMelo like earlier this, like late last week. So like he should be back no later than the end of next week, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, then they'll probably rush him so he can try to get to a play-in game.
Atlanta schedule's, you know, pretty tough too. You know, they have Philly again tomorrow. The Blazers, who are in free fall, but they really need these wins. Phoenix, Indiana, Washington twice. Which Washington, by the way, oof, that team's playing their best basketball.
That team, if they get to the play-in game, that'd be fun if they actually win and make it to the playoffs.
It'd be fun if they get to play Brooklyn or something. I think that I think the no defense of Brooklyn would make it for a lot of fun Westbrook and Beal stuff. Is there a, Nikai, last thing before we go out, is there a particular matchup in the first round you'd like to
Westbrook
watch?
Give me Durant and Harden. Oh, I want to see that.
For the Heat that you'd like. Maybe one for the Heat that you feel like would be fun and like you think that they could win. And one that like maybe a non-Heat playoff series that you could see in the first round.
Okay, so let me pull up the standings just to make sure I'm not talking out of my butt here.
East is going to be low-key fun. These teams at the bottom, they're a little scrappy, and I know that they're probably not going to upset any of the top teams, but, I mean, there are some potential spicy matchups.
Yeah, like, in terms of the spicy Heat matchup, like, I kind of want Heat Philly.
Me too, dude. Like, Me too.
I think that's, like, honestly, if you're picking Miami to upset one of the top three teams of the East, like, I think Philly is prime for that. Like, Philly's better, but there are things Miami can pick at. A fun Heat matchup, like sign me up for Heat Hawks, honestly. Like, I think
that would actually be like probably like really, really, really good basketball.
I feel like that'd be a really good series.
Yeah,
in the non Heat division,
I think Celtics Bucks would be a lot of fun.
I could see that.
I think the Lakers still, could be Lakers fun. Still fifth seed, right? Who they play right now?
Yeah, like I mean, like,
you know, the West is such a crapshoot right now. It's like it's hard to project anything.
Yeah, like the easy one out West would be like Lakers Clippers in the first round, since that's very much a thing that could happen.
I think Warriors Utah would be fun.
Yeah, that's kind of the one.
Like you get Steph hot for a couple games, and if you can get Draymond to score 11 points, you know, we might be on to something.
I love that 11 points is the drop off of Draymond.
I die because, like, on Light Years, I listen to their post-game stuff. Shout out to Sam and Andy. They do a great job. They're like, can Draymond, like, score in double figures? Did you see that Twitter video going around of, like, Draymond Green in the 9-loss season where he's just like hitting threes and someone's like, he's hit 7 of 9. And then they're like, Draymond used to what? I was like, oh yeah. Young Warrior fans don't know that he tricked us into thinking he was a great shooter.
Yeah. That was the one season he shot like what? 37 some percent from three or something like that on like moderate volume. It was very odd because you knew what he brought on defense. You knew what he brought as a passer. Then he could shoot. So it's just like, okay, well, we just can't guard this team.
Thus why they never lost.
Until they
did it. Was that the Dion season? Was that the year that Dion beat them or no?
I think that was the year after, if I'm not mistaken.
Because I know that he beat them that year. That undefeated, that 9-loss season that he did beat them. I don't remember. I know they beat him. They might have beaten them 3 straight times in Miami. 4 straight times, really, if you count this year. Because the Dwayne buzzer beater, then the Dion game. I think the Dion game was the first KD year. And they did beat them. I know for a fact that that the Heat were one. Okay, we'll check this live and then we'll leave. What season was that Warrior season?
Warrior season was 15-16. So like that would have been
15-16. Warrior schedule.
Okay, great podcast right now.
This is what it's all about. We're going back to the 2015-16 season. There's a lot of W's on this chart. Oof. A lot of W's. Okay. They beat Miami in January. We're going down. Never mind. They swept Miami. I'm misremembering that.
It would have had to have been 16-17.
Was close.
That was the 30-11 year.
So. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so there you go. That's what you come here for. Shout out to Nikias for making the time for us. We love him. Nikias, do you have anything you want to plug? Anything going up?
Let's see. If you haven't listened to this week's episode of the Dunker Spot, do that. Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. Wrote a piece about D'Angelo Russell earlier this week.
Roman, that was very good, by the way.
Thank you. Roman the Baseline drops every Wednesday, so if you haven't checked that out, do so, please. Give me some clicks. I need to feed myself and future family. So we'll see. Dropping something tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly what yet.
When's the next Heat thing going up?
When is the next?
It's been a while. Heat fans are starved for Nikias' Heat words.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, I have been eyeing a Bam defense piece.
Mm. Michael Prada came out.
And then Michael Pena did the piece earlier. He covered just about everything I wanted to. I'm not going to double dip there. So maybe I do something on Jimmy at some point, because I'm still intrigued by just how he just destroys everything off ball.
Can you walk people through how that feels when you have a great idea for something and you're like kind of workshopping it, and then someone drops your idea and you're just like, got to recalibrate.
Oh my goodness. I had a big one earlier this year. Like I've been sitting on the premise that like drop defense is just kind of going to be dead soon, just with the rise of pull-up shooters and stuff. And I was just kind of sitting on that. I'm waiting to gather quotes for it so I can do this like research piece instead of just doing a film type deal. And then like Seth Part now does a piece on drop defense. I'm just like, well, I definitely can't do it now, because he's worked in the league. He is the numbers guy. And I'm like, so much for that. But yeah, it's not a good, like, it makes me feel good that I have a good idea that someone else that I look up to would do it. But also it stinks, because it's like, oh, well, I can't do it anymore. So just got to be quicker than that. That's the game.
I have your next great idea.
What you got?
You have to do a story on why you should not draft Bam Adebayo when Ekpe Udo is available.
Could I have both?
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.